Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Bob Underwood. I'm one of the elders here today.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Today for our last lesson in new members class, or what it means to be a member, I'm going to talk about why be a member. All right, what's the big deal about church membership, and why should we do that? And there's a couple things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about why join any church, you know, kind of start at the beginning, and then why join a small church, because we're a small church, and then some specifics about Hope of Christ and why join Hope of Christ. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. And if there's any questions, again, because this is the last class in the series, I am going to kind of review. Here's what happens when you join this church. You know, here's what you can expect or whatever. And before that, to kind of get things started, I'm going to share my testimony for a couple reasons. One, all of us, all the elders here, want to share our testimony with all of you so that you can kind of get to know us better. But the other thing is our testimonies are important, because if you join the church without first, you know, becoming a Christian, that's the wrong order, right? So sometimes, and I bring that up because sometimes, you know, people are like, well, yeah, well, of course. But not everybody thinks that way, all right? So that's people want to do the right thing, and a lot of times they're trying to do the right thing. They're kind of focused on their actions, and they kind of miss that, and they realize it later, oftentimes. And that's, you know, I've seen that several times. So that's what we're going to talk about. But before we begin, let's go ahead and open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Easter Sunday, where we can come here to this wonderful building and worship you. It's just a wonderful weather day as well, Lord, and we're grateful for that. And we just ask you to be here this morning as we look to your word, and specifically the importance of church membership, and pray that your word would penetrate our hearts as we consider these things, and that if any of us have any questions, that we would feel the freedom to ask them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so my testimony goes like this, and I'm going to spend a little more time on my testimony for a couple reasons. I was in a Presbyterian church out on the West Coast, and it was, you know, larger than this one. And I remember the pastor one day, he said, okay, and we were talking about evangelism. He said, how many people sitting here right now are Christians? And then, you know, of course, most of the people raised their hands. He said, okay, keep your hands up. He said, how many of those who have your hands raised became a Christian in a Baptist church? And just about every hand remained in the air. And the point that he was trying to make, this is a PCA church, and the point he was trying to make was, as we talked about evangelism and as we talked about you know, growing the church and things like that, that Presbyterians don't tend to be as intentional as Baptists or other denominations. And he posed the question to us, okay, you know, why is that? And so that was, but that was kind of enlightening for me to see how many people in that PCA church had become believers through, you know, a Baptist church at some point in their life. So, and I was one of them, you know, so I thought that was kind of interesting. So, getting back to my spiritual journey, my mom was a Christian, but I was not raised in a Christian home. So my experience, my personal experience as I grew up, my mom was very sincere in her belief, but she was not really raised in what I would call a healthy, Christian environment or a church membership, type of background as well. So what she believed tended to be a little bit all over the page, but she was very sincere. So that's what I knew growing up was I knew that my mom believed in God, prayed all the time, set a tremendous example for us. So we knew that there was a God because we could kind of see the evidence of that primarily through my mother and the things that she taught us. And she read the Bible, her Bible every day and read it to us every day. But we were not regular church attenders. One of the reasons for that was probably it wasn't important to my dad. And so, perhaps you've seen this. If one spouse is all fired up about going to church and the other one isn't, then, one of them tends to win out. And it's usually, at least in my experience, the one who's not all excited about it. So perhaps that was it. But the other thing was if my mom heard somebody say something that she disagreed with, then she kind of like, oh, well, we're not going there again. And that was kind of her, So subsequently, I didn't really have a church attendance foundation in my background. I would go every once in a while with somebody or at the request of somebody, but not a regular church attender. And so what happened to me was, as I grew up, I became very focused on what other people saw on the outside. So I very focused on doing the right thing, being perceived the right way, not really concerned about the heart issue because nobody really saw that, focused on the outside. And my parents had 6 kids in 9 years, and so we were all pretty close in age, and they, ensured that, they told us the standard things not to do, and we kind of kept each other accountable to those things. So we looked like, good kids on the outside. People thought that we were, Christian kids, but we weren't. But we looked good on the outside, right? So that's kind of how I grew up. And again, for me, I was just focused on what you thought of me. I wasn't focused on anything internal, didn't see my need for a Savior. Every once in a while, I would run into a real Christian, and they kind of scared me a little bit. And I didn't really want to talk to them. But that's kind of where I was. So my oldest brother joined the Navy. He was a couple years older than me. And so he joined the Navy, and he became a Christian. And the reason that we knew this is we would get letters from him in colored, Sharpie markers with pictures of the cross and, he is risen, with a rainbow. This is in the 70s, So we were kind of blown away for a couple reasons. One, we thought my brother had, become a Jesus freak by, what we were seeing in the mail. But he was like the worst of us. He had kind of lived a life, he got drunk a few times, heinous crime in my family, and, may have smoked pot, back then as well. All of a sudden he was sending these letters back, and it kind of got our attention, and we were a little concerned about when he came home on leave. So he comes home on leave, and we all really saw the change in him, and it was very, very real. And we were kind of left speechless, if you will. So he was probably 19 at the time, and I was 17. But he came home, and, when we were in high school, he didn't really have time for me. Don't hang out with me when I'm with my friends. That whole thing was kind of going on. And didn't really care. But when he came home after he became a believer, all he wanted to do was spend time with me. And it was very genuine, and he didn't really care about his friends as much as he cared about his brothers. And so he would say things like, hey, what are you going to do today? And I would say, well, I'm going to go to the beach. And he said, well, can I go with you? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. So we go to the beach, you know, we kind of do our normal thing. And then he would start reading the Bible while we were on the beach. And then he would say, oh, man, this is awesome. Hey, can I read this to you? And I would say, okay. And then he would read, you know, something to me, and he would go, isn't that awesome? Here's what that means. And I was like, you know, kind of taken aback, because what my brother was doing, I don't think he, you know, had this plan. It was all very genuine. But he was kind of walking me through, you know, what it meant to become a Christian, what he had discovered, and how he was forgiven, and his whole new perception. And he was doing that as he walked me through, you know, God's word. But he did it in a very gentle and sincere way that over time, you know, really started to have an impact. So that really got my attention. And he came home for 2 weeks. So in my family, again, we didn't go to church regularly, but we did have family prayer time. And so before he went back to the Navy from his 2 weeks leave, we had a time of family prayer time. And as we were going around the room, you know, praying, my dad became a Christian, largely through the influence of my older brother. Because my dad had, you know, he had seen the change in my older brother, and, you know, that had impacted him, and he wanted that, and he saw some things. So my brother kind of had that impact on my dad. And then once my dad became a Christian, then he kind of, hey, we're going to go to church every Sunday. We started, you know, going to church regularly. But so and that was great. But even though that was great, that wasn't when I became a Christian. But my brother had that immediate impact on my family. So after I joined the Navy, you know, I was away from home, and I was a enlisted guy out of high school, and I started looking for that relationship that I had seen in my brother, and I wanted that. And over time, I came to see that what my problem was I wanted the benefits of being a Christian, but I didn't want to surrender. You know, so I wanted the good things that I saw. I was attracted to the good things that I saw, but I didn't want to give up my plan for my life. And that's really what it, you know, came down to for me. And that was a real struggle. So it seems funny now as I look back on it, because here I am, I'm 18 years old, I'm an enlisted guy in the Navy, and, you know, I have my plan. And I don't want God to tell me, you know, what to do. And that was the real struggle. And it makes me laugh because, let me back up a little bit. So that was the struggle. I knew it was the struggle. And God continued to bring godly men and women into my life that I was able to talk to. And eventually they helped me. You know, they pointed out what the problem was for me, and the whole, you know, Christ being on the throne, not Bob being on the throne, struggle that I was kind of going through. And once I really got there in my heart, and I was willing, you know, to give that up. I mean, that was my struggle. That's when I became a Christian. That's when I knew that I was forgiven. That's when I knew what joy was, you know, for the first time in my life. And so the reason that I bring that up is what I have seen in my as I've gone through my spiritual life with people. When I share with them, is one, we have to be intentional about our faith. Like my brother was. You know, my brother was a great example because Who loves you more than family? Pretty much nobody, right? I mean, your family is very genuine. So he was able to, you know, be very genuine with me. And because he was my brother, he saw through my facade, and I knew that he did, you know, so he could talk real. So my brother continued to be very intentional with my family, and over time, every one of us became a Christian. And he continues to be that way. So, for example, I have an uncle who had cancer, and he was on his deathbed, and Larry, you know, went there all the time. So this was my dad's, like, best friend, right, when they were young men. And he wasn't my real uncle, but we grew up knowing him as an uncle. And my brother Larry would go over there every day, and he would share the gospel with him and just love on him. And he was very sincere. And, you know, my uncle became a Christian before he died. And so my brother, he has that gift of being very sincere. And so as you look back over his life, I mean, it's pretty significant the impact that he's had just on his immediate family, you know, and what's happened through his immediate family. So we have to be intentional in our faith, and we have to ask, you know, people the hard questions. Al Brandstorfer was a member here. Many of you probably know him. And he had a friend who was not a believer, and that Al and I think Murph and some other guys, you know, rode bikes with. And they would share the gospel with this guy a lot. And one day he told him, "Hey, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I appreciate you guys telling me the truth. Because if you really believe this and you didn't tell me, you know, that's not real love, you know. But I appreciate the fact that you're sharing this with me, even though I disagree, because you're because I know that you care about me, and that's why you're sharing it with me." So, anyway, that's my testimony as far as becoming a Christian. The reason I'm a member of the PCA is, after I became a Christian again, young man, I went looking for the right denomination, you know, the quest for who was correct, you know, amongst all the denominations. Very impressed with Charismatics, you know, because of, you know, the things that I saw when I went to Charismatic churches. But I knew a lot of good people in all these different denominations, and that was my quest. And what I found over time was that, you know, we have to look at the foundational beliefs of the church that we join. And I've gone to a lot of different churches besides PCA, because in the military, you know, you transfer all the time. And they all, you know, kind of, I say, "Hey, what do you believe?" And they're like, "Well, we believe the Bible." And it doesn't matter, like, if you're in a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or, you know, Church of Christ or whatever, they all kind of, "Well, we believe the Bible," you know. And so you're like, "Okay." And then after a while you find out, "Well, Bob, look, if you don't believe this, then, you know, you can't really be a leader in our church, because this is something that we hold as a tenet." And so you kind of learn those things as you go on. But let's back up a little bit and talk about why join any church. You know, what's the big deal about church membership? So if you think, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I know Christ is my Savior. I'm comfortable with that," and or maybe, you know, you're a military person and you move around a lot, and so what's the whole big deal about joining a church? So, anybody have any thoughts on that? I mean, anybody kind of wonder about that? I know, as a military guy, I was like, "Hey, look, I'm only going to be here for 2 years or 3 years. So what's the big deal?" You know? Anybody ever think that? No? All right. Well, there's three reasons that that all people who believe in Jesus and love him, there's three reasons why you should join and love a local church. Three reasons that we're going to talk about today. One is, who's got Romans 16, 16? Okay, and who's got 1 Corinthians 1, 2? And who's got 2 Thessalonians 1, 1? Okay, so you guys are on deck. So why join any church? Well, people talk about the church as a whole, and maybe you know somebody like this, and they say, well, look, I'm a Christian, and I'll just watch church on TV. Because, you know, that's comfortable for me. Or I'll listen to the sermons on audio. But they don't really want to be part of a local church. Usually because of the people in the church. So, hey, I'd be part of the church, but I really don't like Aaron Underwood. And he goes to that church, and, you know, so I really don't want to have, you know, have to go there every week and see Aaron. Yeah. So we hear things like that. But that's not what it says in the Bible. The universal church is locally and visibly expressed in local fellowships. All right, so we've heard Leonard talk about this before. Hey, Christ Church, and this is part of Christ Church. This fellowship is part of Christ Church. We are not the only church where you can worship Christ. So Paul gave this reason. Christ had obtained the church of God with his blood. Jesus Christ loved his church that much. And thus, Paul called those elders to think and act accordingly toward the portion of Christ's flock under their care. All right, so let's look at Romans 16 and 16. Can you read that for me, please?
Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you.
Okay, so all the churches of Christ is what we wanted to emphasize on that. 1 Corinthians 1, 2.
To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours.
Okay. So one of the things from that verse is the church of Christ, which is in Corinth. And again, just emphasizing that, you know, there's more than one. I think we're all in agreement there. And 2 Thessalonians 1:1.
Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you. So, again, just some, the main thing we wanted to, you know, bring out there is Christ Church is not limited to one building, one location, or even one denomination. Second reason, Christ has chosen to use his church. So when people talk about, you know, the church of Christ, again, in the big picture, you're fans, but in the small picture, you're not. And the reason you're not is because of people, because you know these people. You know, so you're not a fan of, I'll use Aaron again as an example. You're not a fan of Aaron because you know Aaron and you know what his faults are. So you're not a fan of that. But the church at large, you know, in a nameless, faceless way, you're a fan of. And that's why people, you know, one reason that people use for not joining churches because they're looking for something. Robin and I have looked at, you know, traveled to different places or whatever, and as we've kind of discussed things, you know, sometimes we're looking for something, and we want the church to meet that need. Maybe it's a good youth program because of where our kids were at the time. We wanted our kids to have Christian friends, and so, you know, we were looking for that, and that, you know, was our priority. Not that that was the right thing to do. I'm just saying, you know, from personal experience, those are some reasons people, when they go around and look at churches, those are, you know, the practical things are things that are very important to them. If you go to a church and you have teenagers and you're the only family in that church that has teenagers, what are your teenagers going to be telling you every week as you're driving to or from church? I wish we went to a church where there were kids my age, right? Because they want fellowship. So some of that stuff is normal. But is that the primary reason, you know, why we should look to join a church? I mean, is that it? Thoughts?
Well, if your primary reason is to, you know, know the Lord, then you'd want to go someplace where that's more accurately taught. If your primary focus is social, you know, gatherings, then that's where you would go.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the individual's understanding and focus.
Mm-hmm. So why did God have... I mean, what's the big deal about a church anyway? So let's talk about you, for example. You became a Christian, okay? So you are now you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven, right? So what do you do now? What's God's purpose for you now? Why are you still here? And what are we supposed to do? What, John?
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. But isn't there something bigger going on after salvation?
We're ambassadors for Christ.
Okay.
The gospel?
Yes.
Sanctification.
Yes! Who's that? Oh, Rick. Cheater. So sanctification. So what does sanctification mean? I mean,
to become holy.
Pardon me?
To become holy.
Okay, to become holy. So, when I was a young man, and I would look at my boss, who was a squadron commander, I thought, I could do his job. You know? And then in the years that it took me to go from where I was at that point to the point where my squadron commander was, I gained a lot of appreciation for what he had to go through and do and put up with and prepare to be a squadron commander. So, you know, as we're being sanctified and as we're growing in holiness, that's another purpose of the church. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But one of the benefits of being part of a local church is now I know people, and they know me, and they're going to help point things out in my life, maybe intentionally, or maybe not. Maybe just by their example, I'm, you know, convicted. But I'm going to grow. I'm going to continue to grow. And that's one of the reasons that we go to church. You know, one, to continue in our faith and listen to, you know, Leonard bring forth the word, and we continue to grow in our faith and mature in our faith. But also the example that we are to each other. And none of us are there. None of us are perfect. But collectively, we all have a positive impact on one another as God continues to work through our lives individually. So that's not something to be discounted, but you have to put yourself at risk a little bit, right, in a relationship as well. And if I see you, you know, on a regular basis and I kind of get to know you a little bit socially, then over time I'm going to be feel a little more freed up to talk to you about things that I'm struggling with, and vice versa, right? So there's a practical benefit for us to be meeting in the same place and getting to know each other, you know, a little bit better over time, and that's one of those practicalities. I can't walk in, if I don't know you from Adam, and you've got a serious, you know, problem, I'm not the guy for you to talk to, right? I mean, there's some things I could probably say, but you know, you need somebody who's got a little bit stronger relational bridge than I do. right? And that's one of the practical reasons. What's the problem with that, though, when we're dealing with people in a church? What's the problem? What's the problem, Leonard? I'll tell you what one problem is. They hurt our feelings. Okay? So who can really crush my heart the most? My wife. Right? Because she knows me really well. And so if she says something, she can say it in a certain way if she wanted to. That would really, you know, a knife in the heart. The people that have hurt me the most in my walk in my Christian faith are people who profess Christ, you know, because I hung it out there and I let them know my heart, and then they hurt me, and it hurt real bad, you know. So that happens to a lot of us, probably all of us eventually, and that makes us a little gun shy over time. So that's one of the, you know, hazards, I guess, of joining a church. But we're never going to continue to grow in the way that Christ wants us to unless we have those relationships in our life. And then the other thing is, you know, Christians need each other. So we, you know, when we talk about the fact that we're not perfect and nobody's perfect, but collectively, you know, we are. So if there's something that I lack, probably Robin excels in that, right? So we see that a lot in a husband and wife relationship, and we see that in the congregational as a whole as well. You know, who's somebody that can do this, and maybe it's a talent or maybe it's a gifting or something like that. But collectively, we need each other, and we that's the third reason for joining a church. So let's talk about a small church. What's the first thing I want you to know is a small church matters to Jesus Christ no less than a big church. All right. So when you go to a big church, and I have done this before, I've kind of walked in and like, hey, I want to walk in, get connected. This church has all kinds of programs. It's going to be awesome. And I walk in, and it's really hard for me to build relational bridges, even though I'm trying to be intentional about it. And which is surprising, because you wouldn't think that looking on the outside and all the cars in the parking lot. All right. Well, in a small church, it's a little bit easier to develop those relationships because, you know, you kind of know everybody over time. So you can't hide, right? So everybody kind of knows your name, and that's one of the benefits. But the important thing to remember is there's a place for small churches, there's a place for big churches, but there's a place for small churches as well. And all those big churches started out as small churches, you know, at one point, right? So we're all of us churches are, you know, in different phases of our growth. So we talked about closer fellowship because you can't hide. But what's one of the negatives of being in a small church? You're going to be asked to do stuff more, right? You can't hide, so it's like, hey, we need somebody to bring some food in. And, you know, Jack's family always steps up and, you know, brings some good chow. Right? But it's hard to hide. And we don't see it so much in this building, but when we were meeting at the high school, hey, you know, that wore people down. Set up and tear down. It wore people down. I mean, it wore people down to the extent that they got burnt out. You know? And so that's a real factor in a small church. You're going to be needed more. But we all need to be needed. But if your attitude is, hey, look, I just want to come in, listen to the sermon, and then go home right away afterwards, It's going to be more difficult to do that in a smaller church, right? Because people want to talk to you, but people need you. So that, you know, that's one thing that they need to be aware of. But the church, again, a smaller church needs you. We've talked about this before a couple years ago with the deacons, and it's like, hey, we all have to serve. We all have to use the gifts that God's entrusted in us for the good of the body. Otherwise, you know, we're stagnant. We're a stagnant pond, right? We're not a river. We got, you know, we want stuff coming in, but we don't have anything going out, and that's not healthy. So a small church has more opportunities for you to do that kind of stuff and for you to serve. Okay, what about this church? What about Hope of Christ? What's the benefit of joining Hope of Christ? The first thing is Presbyterian churches or PCA churches tend to be a little more focused on church membership than other churches may be focused on, right? And one of the reasons for that, not the only one, but one of the reasons is, and this is one of the things that attracted me to the PCA church, is there's accountability, you know? Leonard can only go so far, and then as the pastor, and then there's accountability. And Leonard knows that, and the elders know that, and the members know that, right? But if you go to some churches that don't have that accountability, you know, built in, that's when bad things happen, you know, because there's no accountability. There's nobody telling the leader, hey, I think you're a little off, or hey, I think maybe you need to consider this, or hey, you're wrong, or you're violating scripture or whatever. And that's where, you know, if you've ever been involved in a cult or know somebody who has, or see some of these huge churches crash and burn, that's the reason for a lot of that. But the other thing is, I was a member of a PCA church before we moved back here when I was in Fort Worth. And so we were members, and I was only there for 2 years, and I was deployed for about half of that anyway. But it was a great church. And they really took care of my family, you know, while I was deployed. And I really appreciated that church, and it wasn't really a military town. And then I moved here. And so I moved here, and I started going to Crossroads up in Dumfries. But they had a program where you had to go through the membership class, you know, to be a member. And Don, I knew Don, but I still had to go through the program. And I shared with Don that was kind of frustrating because they had like a 12-week, you know, program. I think I was in there with you guys, right, at the time. But during that time, I got a call from the elder who was responsible for me at that church in Fort Worth. And he's like, hey, Bob, how's it going? I'm like, oh, it's fine. He's like, you guys find a good church? I'm like, yeah, we're going to Crossroads. He's like, have you joined the church yet as a member? And I'm like, well, no, because, you know, you got a new members class. He's like, well, Bob, look, you know, it's really important for you to join the church. And he was really, like, really focused on that. And I was kind of surprised. I'm like, well, look, man, I'm trying. He's like, no, Bob, you need to join the church, you know, for the benefit of you and your family. And, you know, it's that whole accountability, you know, thing. But he was really, you know, kind of pushing that. And that got my attention. But I appreciated it, you know. But the purpose of the church is of this church, and Leonard, you know, I'm not speaking for you, but if I'm off, you know, feel free to correct me. We're not here to tell you how to live your life. Rather, we're here to equip you while you're here to live your life. Right? That's what our intention is as a church. In an environment that's, you know, doctrinally that you agree with, that's, you know, safe, if you will, from, you know, from my perspective or from your background. But take advantage of that, right? A lot of people want the Just like me, before I became a Christian, I wanted to have the benefits of being a Christian, but I don't want to let go, right? And a lot of people expect the benefits of membership without ever becoming members, and they get very offended when they don't get everything that they want because they're attenders, but they're not members, you know. But there's benefits to being a member, and there's expectations to being a member, and the same goes true if you're not a member. There's certain things you can't do if you're not a member, and voting is, you know, one of those things in this church, in the PCA. So, and then the last thing I'll say is, hey, not the last thing I'll say, but a lot of people want to know, hey, what are the steps that I need to take to become a member here at Hope of Christ? And really, what happens is you meet with a couple of the elders, and those elders, and you know, once you express your desire to be a member, the first thing I want to emphasize, though, is, the reason I emphasize this is I've met many people who didn't know that they were not a Christian, and joined a church thinking that was the thing to do. So that is not what we want to happen. So the elders will meet with you and explore those things and ensure that that you have a saving knowledge of Christ. And one of the ways that we do this is by asking you these five questions. So so this is what you can expect as far as the next step in becoming a church membership. So the questions that we ask you are, one, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure and without hope, save in his sovereign mercy, right? And so when we meet with you at your home or, you know, or here, whatever, we're taking the time to go into that to make sure you understand that, and that you understand the question and you understand, you know, what you're signing up for, so to speak. And you've heard this before when Leonard has had people join the church, because when you join the church officially, you make it in a, you know, you make a public declaration of these things. Number two is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners, and do you receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel? Number three, do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endure to live as becomes the followers of Christ? Number four, do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? And number five, do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study its purity and peace? So those are the five questions that we will talk to you about, and that those are the five things that you will affirm in front of the congregation once you become a member. So, questions? Anything I forgot? Comments? Okay, so we're out of time, unless, Rick.
Are you doing something next Sunday?
I don't think so.
Okay, if I could recommend what we can do next Sunday is to kind of wrap it up. The elders will be here. We can answer any questions. We can do any clarifications that might have happened throughout the whole class. So we actually